All right. Test 1, 2, we're good. Hi, I'm the Digital Realist, and I do music and stuff. And tonight, or today, or whatever, this time, it's the warm-up. If you remember, it's a feature that I've tried to start where I'm going to basically, as I'm working on music projects, warming up my vocal cords, I'm going to talk about current events, topics, things that interest me, or whatever, just a little blog, podcast type thing, you know, to save time and get my vocal cords in shape. And so on tonight's, I keep saying tonight, like, you know, like you can see the time of day. In this version, in this episode or whatever, I'm going to talk about a movie I recently saw called The Hunt. The Hunt, 2020. It came out, like, what, not even months ago. It came out, like, what, last week from now? Let's see. Yeah, it came out like 2 weeks ago, so I just went to go see it, you know, amongst this whole coronavirus thing, which will be probably irrelevant in years to come. But it is a movie based on the current politics and climate of social media, which ironically is the opposite of what we're going through, which is social distancing. So in The Hunt, basically it is these two characters, female, one quote unquote named Snowball or Sarah, and then the other girl is named, I think her name was Gwen. As you can tell, this probably gives you a better explanation of how significant this movie was, because I can't remember the characters' names. So, you know, forgive me. But I do remember why I did not like this movie. And I'm going to tell you that. So, in the movie The Hunt, basically, the main, antagonist is Hilary Swank. They don't reveal this until towards the end, but it's not even important, because pretty much all the promos and all the promos for the movie and the trailers, you see Hilary Swank, and she's the only one with these typical dark brunette with the bangs cut, whatever, looking evil vibe in the movie. Unfamiliar to me is the, I guess, the protagonist, quote unquote, Betty Gespin, who's called Crystal. And she plays this kind of like southern draw country bumpkin, you know, give me my PBR, give me my PBR and chew and leave me alone, I'll get off my property type gal, who apparently has some combat training from being in the, I think she was in Afghanistan or some type of war. She's a war veteran of some kind. So the premises of this movie are that these rich elite people kidnap average Joe middle class so-and-sos and will hunt them for sport. Now, we've seen movies like this before. I know I have, where they had, what's that movie called? It wasn't called Hide and Seek, but it was basically Hide and Seek. But it was with our girl, well, I'm just not good with names right now. The Suicide Squad girl, what is her name? I just forgot her name. I can remember what her body looks like, but I can't remember her name. That's crazy. Let me use the old Antoinette. Do 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 do. Okay, Margaret Robbie or something like that. Margaret Robbo? Robbie? Wow, that's terrible. I can't remember her name. I can clearly remember her body, like, from top to bottom, but I just can't remember her name. But it was her in that movie, the Hide and Go Seek movie, where she was basically running around being hunted by the family, and they were trying to kill her for some type of sacrifice to some false deity or to the devil or something like that. I don't even remember. But Margot Robbie. Yeah, that's her name. Margot Robbie. Anyway, we had that movie, then of course you have movies like Saw, where they try to hunt people. Well, the Saw doesn't try to hunt people, but he kidnaps people, and they have to play a game to survive. So it's kind of like a combination of that, but it's not clever like Saw, and it's definitely not as culturally relevant as Suicide Squad. Because at least with Suicide Squad, even as time goes on, you'll be able to know these characters from comics and movies that have already been established for them. You'll know Harley Quinn, you'll know Deadshot, and you'll know Batman, Joker. You know these names. Whereas with The Hunt, these are characters that are completely brand new based in this world of the movie. So when you see it, and the idea is that you have rich elites trying to hunt country bumpkins, if you're watching it currently in 2020, you're like, oh, okay, I get it. Haha, it's Facebook versus Reddit or something like that. But if you're going to watch this maybe 10 or 20 years later from now, you're not going to get it, because by that time, the whole climate of how social media works is going to be completely different. You know, you might as well say this is a movie about Fortnite characters versus TikTok users. Like, it doesn't make any sense to do that, because a year or two later, it's going to be something else that's popular that you're going to make a movie about. You can make a movie about Angry Birds, but the characters of Angry Birds have already been established. So you can always go back to Angry Birds games and whatever else they got and say, oh, okay, I get it, Angry Birds. But there's nothing in this movie that makes you just want to go back and rediscover it. You know, it's a one-hitter quitter. It's a one and you're done. That's the overall feeling of it. And by the way, when I do the warm-up stuff, it's really just off the cusp. It's nothing scripted. It's just me just talking to get my vocal cords ready. So, you know, forgive me if it's not if it's not organized like my other productions, if you want to call them organized. So anyway, but that's pretty much the premise of that movie. This movie is that you have the elites versus the middle class, lower class draw. Athena is quote-unquote the leader of that elite class. She was head mogul. She was a money mogul, head of an elite company, and she apparently, along with her friends on social media or in a text message, said something that was, I guess, some type of ist, whether it be racist or nepotist or phobic or something, about people who are basically poor and destitute, and it got out onto the public sector, and people on social media reposted it in droves. This made Hilary Swank, who is Athena in the movie, as well as the other elite characters, look bad in their business. And some kind of way, somehow, they were all fired, let go, or had to resign or whatever, making them lose millions of dollars and, like, oh my God, woe is me, lose their lifestyle. So as a form of revenge, the Hilary Swank character, Athena, decided to find the people responsible for spreading the word, or the rumor rather, about them being vicious, malicious people, and actually create a hunting ceremony for their amusement of her and her friends. Crystal, one of the captives, happens to be captured, and from start to finish, she's just taking everyone out all by herself, pretty much. No one else really gets any kills in this whole movie, which I thought was really weird. Like, no one. I mean, as I'm thinking about it, there was the blonde chick who didn't do anything. She died from the very beginning. I can't remember what movie I've seen her from, but she's been in several movies, you know, that were pretty cool. The guy from Mad TV, I forgot his name. What was his name? He's really funny, but I can't remember his name. Like I said, I'm not good with names. I'm terrible. What is his name? Oh, boy. Oh, it'll come to me. Anyway, he dies. There are several other, I guess, lower class players. They all die. But yeah, Yeah, the crystal lady is the only one that gets any kills. There is that one guy who is also known, Ethan Suplee. Now, I actually am pretty proud of this guy, on even though this movie is way below his pay grade. He was once like 400 plus pounds. He lost hella weight, and he's now gotten his body into supreme shape. He has like a whole fitness video where he's like beefy as heck, no homo. But he ends up riding along in the movie, and I thought, because he's a known person to me, he's a known actor in Hollywood, that he would get like a better story arc along with Crystal. But they end up killing him off screen. We don't even get to see how he dies, even though he's the one that survived second to longest next to this guy named Don, which actually was his by benefit, because he was a bad guy. Don was a bad guy, and Ethan Suplee, whose name is Gary in the movie, was a good guy. So I thought that Gary was gonna be, you know, some type of, I guess, sidekick to Crystal, but he just dies. No, so now that I think about it, he did get a kill. Gary did get a kill. He ends up killing this, Pakistanian guy. I'm sure, I don't know. Played by Vince, name is Peter. He blows him up with a grenade. He literally puts the grenade in his pants and blows him up. So I thought that was funny. So yeah, Gary is the only other person I know to get an actual kill on the quote-unquote bad guys. But the thing that did not make sense to me was that you don't really feel like the people who are bad are bad. I mean, it's supposed to be a comedy, like a dark humor comedy, but I didn't get a lot of laughs other than when Gary blew up the guy. Other than that, nothing was really funny. It was just a bunch of people just getting murdered. And so if that's the case, when you see people get murdered in that kind of way, it works for horror, because in horror films, it's like, oh my gosh, that happened. Oh, if that was me, I would be devastated. You know what I mean? Like, I would be scared. If you're like I said in Saw, if you're watching the Saw movie, you're thinking, oh, if I was that guy getting my leg cut off, oh my gosh, I would be just terrified. But if you're watching a comedy movie where people are doing dumb things, getting them killed, you would think to yourself, I would never do that. And so there's never any type of real immersion into the story, because the way people were dying were things that I would think I wouldn't do. Like that one girl, she ran she ran off the screen and then somehow fell into a ditch full of spikes. And I thought that was funny, because I thought it was not funny, haha, but funny weird, because when she fell, and maybe this was just like an editing error, when she fell, it actually fell forward. But when she was in the pit of spikes, she was laying on her back. And I'm thinking, okay, well, did they even think about her being able to fall and then turn her whole body around and then put her back on the spike? It didn't make any sense. The guy, the second guy to die in the whole film, who we think is going to be the... You would think he'd be the hero because he has the chiseled jaw, you know, 5 o'clock shadow, kind of like, you know, I'm... dead to rights looking character, you know, I'm gonna be the suave debonair hero guy, because his first attempt was to actually save the girl that died first, but he failed. She got her head blown off, and you know, he has this kind of like Drake's Uncharted look, so you think he's gonna figure something out. But immediately after the girl falls in spikes, he tries to rescue her. He ends up pulling her out of the spikes and then steps on a mine and blows himself up and blows the girl back onto the spikes. So that would have been funny, but because it happened so fast, literally the first 10 minutes of the movie, this happens. So before you can even get a grasp on why you should be invested in these people dying, they're dead and they're gone. And it's like, okay, well, that's out. So after the melee of the first 9 people in the whole movie to be gone, only people left are Crystal and Gary, who make it to a train where they find out that some people have been following them. While on the train, Gary kind of gives his little monologue about why he doesn't like immigrants and how they're getting over on people and stuff. And so at this point, you're going to realize that, okay, well, the people who are hunting them, the things that they're saying, things that the I guess the poor class are saying about these people is going to come up later in the movie. But because it is so on the nose about what they feel about different types of people, whether it's like racist, sexist, bigotry, or whatever, and it has no arc of them whatsoever in their story, you can't understand why these people are saying it. And so when they say these things, like Gary says some really hateful stuff to the, while they're on the train, they see these immigrants who are, I guess, trying to sneak into the border of Russia. And so when they see, when he says all these things about how they're not working, and he wants to blow them up because he doesn't believe, he thinks they're crisis actors, I think that's what he said specifically. They're crisis actors, they're not real people. And I thought to myself, okay, well, that could be the case. There's crisis actors out there. But if I were a person in the, like, again, when you watch a movie, you want to pretend you're the characters. If I was a person on a train with a bunch of immigrants, I'm not going to think to myself, oh, they're crisis actors. That's not something that I would typically say. And so to put that tone of current events, social media jargon into a, what is supposedly to be a real life situation in the movie, it doesn't sync up to me. It's like, in a real life situation, even though this is supposed to be humorous and comedy and I guess horror fiction, but based on reality, that's not going to be my first thought. Shoot immigrants on a train because people are hunting us. My thought would just be, you know, let's get off this train. I mean, maybe that would probably got me killed in that reality because I wouldn't be paying attention. But it just was the dialogue is not what was making it good, is what I'm trying to say. The dialogue with these characters did not match the accent. If you want to just say you're skeptical of the guys on the train, that's fine. But from where they pulled that from, it just didn't make any sense to me. Anyway, I'm so much about the train, but I wanted to give Ethan his credit. You know, like I said, they killed him off screen, so I really wanted to emphasize that this was a part where I thought he was going to shine, and they just made him say really dumb things, and then they just killed him off screen. So Crystal gets to move on to the next round, and she's basically just funneling through the whole movie. Everyone that she encounters, either she kills them quickly or somehow they get distracted, and she's able to murk them without any type of contest. For example, after the train ride, she meets up again with this guy named Don, who somehow is surviving the first 10 minutes of the movie where everyone dies. They get picked up by what they believe is to be U.S. Embassy after being captured by the Croatian military police or something. Because for whatever reason, Croatians are capturing immigrants that are trying to sneak into the country via train. If this is a thing that's happening in Croatia right now or at any point in time, I wouldn't know. So the fact that they did it in the movie didn't make sense to me. It was just something that was happening, so I just had to take it for what it was. Anyway, when the U.S. Embassy guy shows up, turns out he's actually one of the elite people hunting them. Crystal just kicks him out the door of the driver's seat and then runs him over. So Don is like, oh man, why'd you do that? And then by some wit or logic, she reveals that he was one of them. She just happens to know, or something that he said, some type of, you know, MacGyver thing that she just did in her mind, and it made it okay. So after some, she opens the trunk and finds Gary inside dead. Like I said, we don't know how he died. She gives a monologue about the tortoise and the hare story. However, in this rendition of the tortoise and the hare story, she says that the tortoise wins the race, which I think is the story. But then she says that the hare goes to the house of the tortoise and kills the whole family. Now, I've never heard that in the tortoise and the hare story. It is new to me. I guess that was supposed to be a humor thing about how she grew up or something. But again, for people who have not heard that story, they won't really get the joke. You know what I mean? Because you have to have heard the story about the tortoise and the hare originally in order for that to be like, oh, okay, well, that's messed up. I think if you had did something that was more current, like if you made a story about what was popping, because I'm assuming that she's probably, in this story, she's probably like my age or older. So something more relevant, like maybe Blue's Clues or Sesame Street, you know what I mean? Like something that people who are her age would be like, oh, okay, I know what you're talking about. And then when she adds the twist to the story's ending that she made up or whatever, then it will be like, oh, ha, 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 that's funny because that's not what Blue's Clues is about. But to make up a story from, you know, the 1920s that no one's really heard of or talked about in years, it didn't make any sense. It's like using a nursery rhyme like Mary Had a Little Lamb. Yeah, we heard our grandparents say that, but, you know, if this is supposed to be a story or a movie about current events, and then you're using analogies from, you know, tall tales and stuff that's been, you know, out when your mom was a baby, it just didn't match. Anyway, so Don is like, okay, well, I believe you. Let's go back to the beginning and get these people and take them out. So they go back to the first scene established where they're in a bunker. The elite people are in a bunker. And while in the bunker, great, my voice is working up. So while in the bunker, they are with the elite people. Athena, aka Hillary Swank, is not there, but the other elite people are there, and that's including what's the guy's name? He's from Always Sunny. He's really funny, and I can't remember his name now. Ah, man, what is his name? Ah, man, oh my gosh, all these names I should know because I watched their TV shows. Glenn Howerton, that's what it is. Glenn. So Glenn Howerton from Always Sunny is there, and some other people that I don't know are there, and they apparently have been sitting in the bunker waiting for waiting for that U.S. embassy guy to bring them back. Lo and behold, Crystal sneaks up on them and takes them all out. As she's killing them in the bunker, the radio is, they have a radio, not a Bluetooth speaker or a cell phone, but they have a FM radio, one of them little radios that they use, the little one, the handheld ones with the dial or some shit. It is Athena, and Athena is saying, hey, Don, are they dead? Have you killed them? So this gives way, Don being supposedly a double agent, so to speak. So then Crystal's like, well, I'm gonna kill you. Boom, kills Don. Don is dead. And this is another thing that by this point, there's really no real first and second act, you know what I mean? Like, usually you can tell in a movie when the first act ends and the second act begins because there's a climax and then there's a fall. But I never felt like it was a climax. Everything from the beginning was just bang, boom, bow, explosion. And then Gary's dead, and then now we're back into the room, bang, boom, bow, gunshot, explosion. Don is dead. No real boss, no real villain, no real story development or learning. Is just everyone is pretty much pretentious assholes dying. And because I don't really give a shit about pretentious assholes or you know, humdrum folks with their ignorant speech, I didn't really care, you know, whether they were living or dying or how they were dying. It was just like, okay, a bunch of people are dying and I don't know why. Until the end of the third act where they reveal. So after Don is dead, Crystal says, I'm coming to get you. I think she somehow learns where she lives, or Athena tells her where she lives. Yeah, I think Athena tells her where she lives. So when she gets to Athena's house, then they kind of do like a flashback sequence where she's like, oh, well, I'm the head of this company, and I didn't say that I was going to kill a bunch of people in my mansion. I was just telling a joke, but somehow that, like I said, got out into the public, and because it became trending on Twitter to get revenge for the loss of stocks and investments in her companies, she actually made a hunting game, kidnapped these people. But the irony is that she kept the girl that she wanted to fight herself. Crystal was not the Crystal that she was looking for. Apparently there was a Crystal with the same last name but spelled differently, who was the one that said what she said on Twitter movie version or whatever, I can't remember what it was called, but the Twitter movie version social media thing, and Athena kidnapped the wrong one. So they fight, and then Athena's like, oh, well, Dawn may or may not have been a double agent. And then Athena's like, okay, well, I may or may not be Crystal. It's like the reveal didn't really matter at that point, because it's like, oh, okay, you got the wrong one. You know, sucks for you. Y'all still gonna fight anyway. Because I'm not gonna say, like, it, like, again, if I'm gonna put myself in this situation, if I kidnap the wrong person, but they're already in my house after having murdered several people, I'm not gonna be like, oh, okay, well, then you can go home. Like, we're still gonna have to fight anyway. You know what I mean? So the whole point of that reveal did not make the fight better or worse. It was kind of pointless. There's no stakes. I'm not rooting for Crystal because I don't know what Crystal's about. I'm not rooting for Athena. So then it's like, okay, if I have no stakes and then there's no tension, then what am I supposed to learn from watching all this? Because the stuff that they're saying and doing and why really does not connect with me. I'm not a person that has a lot of money, and I don't really care what elitist people do. At the same time, I'm not the type of person that just goes on social media and starts making up crap about a specific person. You know, I just kind of say my jokes and promote my shit. So I don't know who I'm supposed to be rooting for. Anyway, the fight ensues, and they're doing a whole bunch of pratfalling and punching. A lot of cutaways, because obviously Hilary Swank is not a real fighter in person. So stunt woman A and stunt woman B are being thrown around, kicked around, punched around. And then at the end of it all, they end up cutting each other, stabbing each other. But Hilary Swank dies, which I thought was really weird, because the Crystal Girl, I mean, I guess it's just impervious to death or something, because she was getting stabbed, cut, punched, shot, and she wasn't bleeding out or nothing. Meanwhile, Hilary Swank, who they show in flashback, has been physically and mentally training for almost a year for this fight. So you can tone your body up in like 30 days. So if you're doing this for 8 months straight, you know, lifting free weights and all this stuff like that, you should have some muscle reflexes too, I would think. So it just didn't make any sense that, you know, she would just get stabbed. They both got stabbed in the stomach and lower intestines, I guess. But Hilary Swank died, and with the same knife, no less. But Hilary Swank died and not the other girl. I don't know. So immediately after, and then there was a reference to Animal Farm. Now, I've read Animal Farm. Well, I've seen the movie. I'm not going to lie. I've seen the movie, and I read maybe a couple first pages of the book. But I didn't feel like, again, that was going to matter in the movie, because people who see this movie now, it's 2020. They're going to see this movie. They're not going to know what Animal Farm is. They're not, like, they didn't grow up having to read Animal Farm. They grew up having to read, I don't know, what do people read in the late 90s growing up? The Chicken Soup for the Soul or something? I don't know. It just seemed like a book that would be relevant after 10, 15 years. So when she mentions, like, oh, in Animal Farm, you remind me of the pig because everyone wanted to kill him. And she's like, oh, well, you're the pig. It didn't hit for me. And then after Hilary Swank dies from that realization, quote unquote, then a rabbit comes into the house just out of nowhere, which is supposed to be a reference towards the story about the tortoise and the hare earlier. So I guess they're trying to tell the audience, myself, that Crystal is the rabbit. She's the one that wins the race and then kills the turtle because of reasons. I don't know. It didn't make any sense. None of it made any sense on a intellectual level, you know, and the humor, again, was hit and miss, which really made me feel bad, because Ethan's in there, and Glenn is in there, and they're funny people. Glenn is a funny writer. He's funny. You know, I don't know a lot about the Caucasian sector, but I'm pretty sure they got their jokes, but he just gives off a vibe that is, you know, quirky and funny. And then, you know, Ethan has done his movies where he usually plays like the funny fat kid or whatever. But I don't know, it's something about his, you know, face or something when he says something that's kind of lame or supposed to be funny, it comes off as funny, because he just, you know, I'm pretty sure in real life he always had to be humorous in order to deal with whatever insecurities that he had going on. You know what I'm saying? You can kind of tell when people are, I guess, quote unquote, Hollywood beautiful, they don't really have to deal with a lot. But people who actually have like body dysmorphia or, you know, something going on, humor is the best medicine. And he can already give off a just kind of like effortless vibe of humor. So a lot of the lines he was doing in the movie, it was funny. It looked like he was into it to be funny. It's just that it was not funny dialogue to be for him. It should have been, he should have been doing something else. He's not the funny fat guy anymore. He should be doing stuff where he's just like punching through walls now. I mean, he's ripped now. He should just be punching through walls. Just let him punch through walls. Just let him punch through walls and be like John Cena movies, you know, or be like not John Cena. What's the other guy's name? The Miz, you know, just be the Marine. You know what I mean? I don't know. Emma Roberts. That's what her name was. That's the girl who died in the very beginning. But anyway, I just thought about that, but who cares? Anyway, the movie ends where Crystal pretty much takes some of the rich lady Athena's stuff and then gets on a plane and goes home. And then she lets one of the stewardesses on the plane eat some caviar because the stewardess on the plane never had caviar before, which was unnecessary. First off, if you're a stewardess on a rich person's plane, regardless of whether or not they like you, regardless of whether or not you're not one of them, you should be still getting paid pretty well. You know what I mean? Like, you don't get to work on a private jet and get paid minimum wage. You're still going to get paid and tips for your service. So to say, oh, I've never had caviar before, I didn't think it was for me, that does not sound like something a person who works on a private jet would say. Maybe if she worked for Spirit Airlines, you could probably throw that in there. And they sell caviar at Kroger for like $3. So it's not like you can't just go get caviar if you wanted to eat it. It's not like it's just forbidden to eat caviar if you're if you work middle class poor person. You can go to Kroger and pick it up $3.19 with the Kroger Plus card. So it doesn't matter. So just for her to say that and be like, oh, I just never had it before. Like, just fucking, she, first off, Crystal has a gun. So it's not like y'all best friends. If she says eat the caviar, realistically, I'm just going to eat the caviar. If a person comes on the plane, kidnaps me by gunpoint and says, eat this caviar, I'm just going to eat the caviar. I'm not going to say anything to be relatable to the person kidnapping me. I'm just going to like, okay. So yeah, none of that in the movie just seemed realistic. It just was like stupid. When I got done watching it, I thought about this movie I saw called The Running Man. Running Man had Arnold Schwarzenegger in it and some other people. I can't remember the names, but in the movie, it's pretty much the same thing. The rich elitist television show and his host and his staff kidnapped these people because they had some political views on life going on in the real world, which was, you know, basically dystopian future type stuff. And they had to be in this game show where people were actually hunting them, but they had like super wrestling lucha libre names like Sub-Zero and I forgot the other guy's name, Firestarter or something like that. It was a fun movie, but it wasn't current events political. It was just a fantasy about living in a world where people are hunting for entertainment. And then you could tell the talk show host was a bad guy because he had no empathy for the actual people that were dying. He was just trying to sell tickets for his show. But you can tell that Arnold Schwarzenegger was a hero because he was trying to save, I think he was trying to save his friend or his, I forgot why he went in there. Something about him trying to save someone that went in. I think it was like undercover, trying to help a resistance people stop them or something like that. But they pretty much set the stakes for why Arnold Schwarzenegger is there and why they should stop the bad guys. And it's a good movie. And then all the evil people in between, even though they only had that short time span of the movie, you still got a significant arc for each character, good or bad, to understand why this person needs to die, this person shouldn't have died, and that person needs to live. When I think the girl's partner is, I can't remember the girl's name in Running Man, but her partner in the Resistance got killed, and she was really sad for him, and you're like, oh man, he got killed. Now, you didn't really care about the guy, but because you knew the girl was important to the story, you felt like, oh man, she's gonna get revenge. And then, of course, when she tried to kidnap him, the talk show host tried to kidnap him, and, you know, she got kidnapped, Arnold Schwarzenegger had to come save her, you felt the stakes because you knew how important she was to him. A lot of movies are missing that. A lot of movies don't do that anymore. In The Hunt, Crystal wasn't really fighting for anybody. She wasn't fighting for any love interest for a man. She wasn't fighting for her children. She wasn't fighting for the people. She wasn't fighting for anything. She just was trying not to die. But the entire time they're trying to kill her, you don't really know how she feels about everything. She doesn't really talk about anything. She just kind of makes these weird faces. She sticks her chest out a lot. She had this, I don't know if anyone else gives a shit, but like, she had her chest out like really hard, and it was like, you know, I'm looking at her body type like, you don't really need to do all that. Like, I get it, you got an arch in your back, but you didn't need to do all that. Yeah, I don't know. I think they were trying too hard with her. I don't know. Trying to get sex appeal because her character, I don't know what she was doing. It was like she was on meth or something. I don't know how to describe it. It's like she was on meth or something. But The Hunt. I would say watch The Running Man first and then put The Hunt on watch later. You know, have it queued up for afterwards so that when you get done watching The Running Man and you kind of like fall asleep, then The Hunt will just play in the background while you sleep. That's how I feel about this movie. I'm glad that, you know, some of these people are doing films, Emma Roberts and all them, but they could have kept this. They could have kept this movie for real. I didn't really like it. I'm glad to see Ethan out in the camera, in front of the camera again, but you know, I can't think of any lines from the movie that are cliche. You know, when Arnold Schwarzenegger, I gotta keep referencing the Running Man because it's a perfect example. When Arnold Schwarzenegger is on film, he has these catchphrases that he can say that no matter what movie he's in, you know he said it. You know, I'll be back, or, you know, get to the chopper or something like that. I didn't see that in The Hunt. I can't even think of anything that was said that I can remember that was like a funny line to quote from, unfortunately. So, you know, that's terrible. That's kind of terrible. I don't know. I guess you can keep that one. Anyway, my voice feels pretty good, so I'm gonna stop. Again, just go ahead and this is gonna be up on the website. No video for this one. So if you're listening to this on the pod, just go to my website, thedistrorealist.com. Click on things, subscribe to get music and content first. Donate if you feel, and follow me on social media at The Digital Realist or at Digital Realist, or just Google The Digital Realist and I'll appear somewhere, anywhere. And yeah, that's it. That's all I got to say about that. The Hunt. More like, what the hunt? That was lame. That was so lame.